I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday was a very, very good day. We made a lot of good progress. We did exactly what we wanted to do, which is accomplish four things for the American people. First, we wanted to build a mechanism for keeping the Strait of Hormuz open. It is open. We've seen, of course, gas prices and oil prices come down, millions and millions of barrels of crude and natural gas flowing through the Strait of Hormuz that weren't flowing before. But we also wanted to make sure that we actually set up the coordination mechanism so that we could demine the Straits of Hormuz so that when there are the conflicts that inevitably come up, we can make sure we work through them rather than that leading to escalation. And that is exactly what we did yesterday.
That is Vice President Vance on the talks in Switzerland, Geneva, in trying to find, again, extending the memorandum of understanding and moving forward in a plan that would cease hostilities, not just between the U.S. and Iran, but Hezbollah and Israel. Did we achieve it? There are a lot of big questions. President Trump is insisting, and I'm quoting him, we won unconditional surrender from Iran. I have to disagree. We did not win unconditional surrender to Iran. Then there's a view that we gave too much to Iran. I'm not so sure how much we gave or just we acquiesced. It wasn't that important overall. Two important key things for us is no more nuclear development for weapons inside Iran. And two, of course, the Strait of Hormuz to be open. And there is another point that I will have to disagree with the president when he's talking about, well, we might in the future start ourselves placing tolls. This is international waterway. That's what we've been telling Iran. We should not be in charge of placing any tolls on any ships going through there, nor acknowledge and accept Iran doing the same. So there are a lot of parts of this that are either missing, inept, maybe fully damaged. And Republicans are voicing concern as well. And of course, therein lies an opportunity for the leftists to seize on that weakness and widen the gap. They think. And if you allow them, they certainly will. We're going to break it down in more details for you. Thank you for joining us. Our number one, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are on Monday, June 22nd, 2026. And reminding you, when we're on the air, like right now, you can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors, USA Rumble. And reminding you, everything goes up later as a podcast, available to any podcast outlet you choose. We would like you to use News Talk STL or LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. But you make that decision as to what you want to do. And reminding you again, you have a radio with you all the time if you simply download the free News Talk STL app and put it on your phone. You can listen from anywhere at any time. We need minimum information for you to get the app. It costs you nothing. And we do not sell any information you give us to anyone. And with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you had as you began that hour. I make that a guarantee. And I urge you to hold me to it. In our next hour, Victor Davis Hanson of the Daily Wire. And basically making it clear, Daily Signal, I knew I'd misstated something there. And making it clear in his view of the, quote, memorandum of understanding or the deal that Vance was just talking about and Trump's efforts. That will be coming up in our next hour. And later in this hour, Gordon G. Chain joining us, reference the deal with Iran, deal or no deal, and referenced China and increasing hostilities possibly building around Taiwan. And our story behind the story. This month, 1975, one of the most frightening movies to ever be released. And it was a blockbuster for the summer, to the extent that many people stayed away from the beaches. Jaws, the story behind the story, coming up later. And there are a lot of stories inside that you maybe had never heard before. That'll be coming up before we wrap up this hour. And reminding you, if perchance you cannot stay with us this entire hour, you can always pull up a podcast. Again, at Newstalk STL, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or LarryConnorsUSA.com. And in fact, at LarryConnorsUSA.com, you can subscribe for free. And again, we'll send it to you direct to your mailbox on a daily basis, so you don't need to go watch for it and look for it. Once again, back to Vice President Vance, talking about what he believes they achieved over the weekend in Switzerland.
We also wanted to build a mechanism, a similar mechanism, for deconfliction for the regional ceasefire. As the President of the United States has himself said, sometimes these ceasefires just mean you're shooting a little bit less, but we wanted to make sure that we had the proper coordination set up so that if there is shooting, if Hezbollah fires at Israel or if Israel responds, if there are other conflicts that arise in the region, we're actually talking to each other and figuring out how to stop the shooting, how to make the region safer, our allies, and everybody else. We set that up as well. Number three, we, and this is probably what we're most excited about as Americans, the Iranians have agreed to invite IAEA inspectors back into their country. That is a major milestone for the American people and the first step in permanently denuclearizing or permanently ending a nuclear weapons program in Iran.
Now that is key if it is followed through properly. Even under the Obama deal with Iran and other nations involved, and it was not a treaty, let me remind you, that was never a treaty because it was never presented to the Senate for confirmation because they knew it would fail. So Obama just signed off on it. But supposedly UN inspectors, International Atomic Energy inspectors, were going to be allowed to go into Iran at any time, unannounced, make visits to any site they chose. It did not happen that way. And I'm not sure it's going to happen that way this time. But that's the premise of what Vance was saying. We achieved that. I will believe it. I will believe it when we actually see energy inspectors going into Iran at any place they choose and seeing what is available and what's going on with whatever enriched uranium they still have. Now, a lot of it, they were denying, the UN inspectors, saying that's a military facility. We cannot let you in there. Everything's going to be a military facility in Iran. And they're going to decide you cannot go in there. Now, are we going to play the same game? Again, that remains to be seen. There are negatives from the left and the right. Let me give you a view from The Hill, which is a leftist-leaning publication. And I know they enjoy writing this. And again, I cannot completely deny and state they're wrong. Here's the way they state it. President Trump's deal to lift sanctions on Iran and give it access to $300 billion reconstruction money has cast a glum mood over the Senate Republican conference. GOP senators saying many of their colleagues are in dismay and somber over the cost of the agreement. Now, the cost, again, is not U.S. dollars. This is money that we have either seized, we have been withheld from Iran, and Trump has admitted it is their money. We might have to give it back at some point. But also it's opening up other countries to make investments in Iran, maybe even some companies or individuals inside this nation. Iran has previously been designated a terrorist state, so we would not allow that money to go forward unless things are changed. But the Hill article continues. Trump's most vocal MAGA allies on Capitol Hill are defending the agreement as a potential breakthrough that could finally end Iran's nuclear enrichment program. Oh, that it would be so. From my lips to God's ear, what I just said. As I told you last week, Senator Ted Cruz has already expressed he's not satisfied with it. And the other thing the Hill points out, same thing we did the other day, Mark Levin is lashing out at the administration over the Iran deal. Thinks we're giving too big of a door for them. Again, we're not giving them money, but we apparently are acquiescing some things that Mark Levin thinks that we should not. And another point to be raised here. Reference the Hill again. I'll give them credit. But the word's already circulating. J.D. Vance has become the face of the Iran, quote, peace deal. Is that going to help him or hurt him in 2028? Now, I will argue this. Secretary of State Rubio has had the same position. It's just that over the weekend, J.D. Vance moved to the top, going to the movie meetings in Switzerland. As I mentioned, there's obviously opposition from the left. Perfect example, MS Now, Morning Joe.
If Hezbollah continues to do what they've been doing for the past 20 years, firing rockets into Israel, don't worry about it. Just ignore that. I mean, that's how this all looks to the Israelis. I know nobody wants to think about how the Israelis actually are looking at this deal right now, because, again, because of Netanyahu's horrific policies. But right now you have an American administration saying if you get attacked by Israel or if you get attacked by Hezbollah, which they do all the time, they fire rockets into Israel, don't do anything. Somebody fired a rocket into, like, Texas would be in Mexico City by nightfall. So that's how the Israelis are thinking when they hear us saying, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have the Israeli opinion is, I mean, I think something like 11% of Israelis think they won this war. I mean, a catastrophic failure for Netanyahu. But now the real problem is by going in with the United States, not once, but twice, they thought that would be it. We would deliver the coup de grace to Iran. We would cut the head off the snake for them, as they put it, one of their euphemisms. Instead, what we've done is placed a pair of handcuffs on the Israelis. They feel like they have forfeited their sovereignty and their strategic autonomy, which for them is the greatest danger, right? The United States should not be able to dictate terms of how Israel can respond to national security threats. And that's exactly what we're doing now. And Donald Trump is very outspoken. I mean, he's called Netanyahu an effing idiot. He said that, you know, I call the shots. I'm the guy in charge. Strategic disaster, Joe, is the phrase I keep hearing from Israeli national security analysts and hawks. Nobody is under any illusions that this war has not only not gone the way they wanted, but has possibly put Israel in an impossible bind right now.
All right, to that extent, that's Michael Weiss, editor of The Insider. And there is supporting evidence to his remarks from The Economist publication. Israel will come to terms with Donald Trump's Iran deal. From another reporting source, the Middle East Eye, U.S.-Iran deal leaves Israel isolated, Netanyahu exposed. The Guardian, Israelis feel betrayed, angry. It's a big mistake. And here in our nation, an editorial you might expect to read in the New York Times, appearing in the conservative New York Post.
The latest piece from the editorial board of the New York Post. It's, with Strait of Hormuz held hostage, Trump's Iran deal is worse than Obama's. And in it, the editorial board blasts Trump for allowing Iran to be able to dictate the terms of the strait, writing in part this: why would opening the door for administration of a previously free international waterway even be part of this agreement? How is this in any way the unconditional surrender Trump described? The Post argues, quote, the rest of the 14-point plan is almost entirely about what Iran gets. Immediate sanctions relief on exported oil, protection of Hezbollah from Israeli attack, and the possibility of a $300 billion reconstruction fund if all goes well with the next round of talks. No mention of Iran reining in its terror proxies in Gaza, Lebanon, and Yemen. No restriction on conventional weapons. No mechanism to surrender the enriched uranium it has already created. The Post editorial board then writes, the president hasn't just moved the goalposts, he's changed the sport, the venue, and the rules simply to declare a win.
And again, that is a New York Post editorial, something you would expect from the liberal New York Times. Raising some strong points. I don't agree with all of them. And what about you? Positives. Do we have a peace plan? Not really. Here's the way retired Lieutenant General Hertling described it on MSN Now.
There's been no peace plan negotiated just yet. You used the word when you started, roadmap. And that's what they negotiated yesterday, a roadmap. It is what comes next after a memorandum of agreement or understanding. Here's what we want to talk about. Here are the things both sides want to achieve early on. Here's where we'll start. And what happened yesterday, it appears, is that memorandum of understanding, which favors Iran significantly, was approved. So we're at the beginning of the negotiations. Approving an agenda for a meeting is relatively easy. What comes next is going to be relatively difficult. And what we're seeing is from both sides, and I've been checking the Iranian networks this morning, as well as listening to Vice President Vance and the president from yesterday and this morning, both sides seem to be a little bit hyperbolic in terms of their proclamations. That's to be expected. Both sides are trying to set the conditions for the further negotiations. But yeah, a peace deal conditions have not yet been set. And it appears, as you've had other guests in your first hour talking about, it seems to lean significantly toward the Iranians getting the things that they want out of this.
All right, again, that's retired Lieutenant General Hertling on MSN Now. In our next hour, the view of the current deal or no deal is seen by Victor Davis Hanson, an American military historian, conservative political commentator. His view will be coming up in the next hour. Also coming up when we come back from the break, Gordon Chain and his view of, quote, the deal, and the increasing threat that China might well invade Taiwan sooner than later. You don't want to miss that interview coming up with Gordon Chain. And again, our story behind the story, the feature many of you have loved and continue to love in this hour, this time the story behind the story, 1975, this month, the movie Jaws was released. Scaring the hell out of people. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. true comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA always gets some of the top experts in the fields we need, and one of them that so many of you really enjoy listening to, and you can follow him, by the way, on Twitter at Gordon G. Chain, or X if you want to call it that, at Gordon G. Chain. Gordon, glad to have you back on board with us, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Larry.
And I want to talk a little bit also, before we wrap up, Plan Red, China's project to destroy America. That'll be coming up as well. That's one of your latest books. Now, I saw that on Newsmax over the weekend, you were talking about this issue with Iran and suggesting that we need to be aware of what Iran and China are doing behind channels. Now, China the other day was making a public proclamation. They thought the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, starting at that point, was a good deal. What's behind that?
I think it's because China very much had a hand in crafting the Memorandum of Understanding, because as we can see, it was extremely one-sided in favor of Iran. Now, that doesn't mean that the final agreement will be one-sided in favor of Iran, but it certainly sets the terms, and we got to be concerned. Now, President Trump has an unusual and sometimes extremely effective negotiating style, and so he can pull this out. But right now, certainly the factors look like it's going to be a deal very good for Tehran and very bad for the international community and the United States.
Well, the key part that we've all been wondering and concerned about would be no additional nuclear capability for weapons for Iran. That supposedly is in there, but then how are we going to safeguard and prevent it? And, of course, to open the strait. Is that not satisfactory?
Well, the problem is that we're relieving the pressure on Iran before Iran complies with its obligations. Iran wanted the Strait of Hormuz open, and, of course, President Trump did not close the land routes between Iran and China that ran through Pakistan. So Iran has now got from Treasury Secretary Bessent a 60-day license to sell oil, and yet Iran has not made or complied with any of its agreements. So this is, of course, a concern. As I mentioned, you know, this could all work out well, but we've got to look at the factors right now, which suggests that Iran has gotten a lot from this, and we haven't gotten anything.
But is it not built up on a pay-for-play? You're going to have to meet certain performance standards before each additional action is going to be beneficial for Iran, including billions coming in from outside sources or us releasing some of the billions we've confiscated.
Well, that is the concept that the president and the vice president have been talking about, and I'm sure that's going to be in a deal. But so far, right now, Iran is the only one to have gotten a real benefit from this. And so it is now an issue of they've gotten the first benefit. What did we get?
Well, to that extent, and you could say it was a political move anyway, we're seeing oil and gas prices come down if the strait is fully open. That is a benefit to the Americans and the worldwide audience as well. But what are we losing in the process?
Well, it's open to Iran, and Iran now is getting oil through that strait, which means that there's very little leverage that the United States has on Iran. The main source of leverage was the closure of the strait. And that closure affected other countries far more than it did the United States. Now, yeah. President Trump said that he did this because Iran was about to get a nuclear weapon. Well, now, you know, they're farther away from a nuke. And so the issue is, why did he start this in the first place? I fully supported him from doing this in the first place because I thought that that was an important thing. Well, if it was important then the question is, why isn't it important now?
That also involves the ballistic missile capability,
which is not in the memorandum of understanding at all.
Right.
You would think that that would be there along with other things.
Well, before you joined us, I had a quote from Lieutenant General retired Hurtig, who said basically, this is just a roadmap to get to the final road. This is not a full plan, right?
Right. And as I mentioned, this could very well turn out to be good for the United States. But if the final deal, it follows the memorandum of understanding, this will be a debacle.
Some Republican senators are bending a knee to that very thought.
Well, yes, because you look at the face of the memorandum of understanding, and it checks very few of the boxes that President Trump said we had to have. And so that's the concern. You know, a memorandum of understanding is a framework, but I'm sure the Iranians are going to be throwing that in our face all the time. So
well, we know we can't trust them. We can't trust them, period. So regardless of what they sign or don't sign, we cannot trust them.
That's right. But if they don't sign it, or if the agreement is in their favor, then we have really no way of getting to where we need to be. So, yes, an agreement is not sufficient, but it is necessary. Now, I think that President Trump was right in the beginning when he said total victory. Total victory, we solve this once and for all. If you leave the Iranian regime in place, history says we're going to be down this road again in the future. And it's going to be our children who will be fighting the war.
Well, to that extent, again, some of the reaction from the world press is suggesting, again, much as you have, that Iran is coming out on top and that even the Israelis are saying this is a betrayal. And Netanyahu is still in position to deny or accept. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the problem here is that it's not just Iran. It's we're going to lose our friends in the Gulf, and we're going to lose our friends around the world because it will be seen as not being able to protect our friends. So there's an enormous amount of downside for this. You know, the Chinese always say that we're in terminal decline. Well, this will be proof of it. Now, I don't think that they're right. President Trump has the ability to turn defeat into victory. But he's now got a much more difficult path to follow and a much more difficult task. And this could end America's role in the world. I know that sounds
that's pretty strong. Yeah, but, that's very that's not you don't think that's a hyperbole.
No, because really what we're talking about is if we lose our friends and we can lose our friends around the world because of this, then, yes, we're finished. And that's why this is the stakes are much higher. You know, President Trump said it might be able to say, well, this just involves Iran. No, it doesn't. It involves the wider Gulf. It involves the world as well. Because once you make a mistake, a critical mistake as a power, you're going to lose friends. And that means you're going to lose power. And that means there's all sorts of bad things can happen. I'm not saying they're going to happen, but I can say that they could very well occur. because power can diminish very fast.
I'd love to spend a lot more time on that, but I do want to get to another issue, and that is, again, over the weekend, I saw that you put out on your X account, at Gordon G. Chain, that Taiwan is increasing its readiness and arming the population in the event of war, and that would prevent China from invading.
Yes, and I think that's certainly right, because China is casualty averse. And if they knew that they would face guerrilla warfare with every citizen with a weapon, then that really would be something that would deter them. Now, I don't know if the Taiwan government is prepared to arm citizens, but in an emergency situation, that's something I think that they absolutely need to do. And of course, they need civil defense training, which they're getting now, but they need much more of.
And there's no doubt Iran is also distracting from what's happening around Taiwan.
Unfortunately, no, because I think that Beijing looks at what's happening in Iran, which now is not very good for us, and they're emboldened.
What I meant was that the U.S. and the world is not so focused on Taiwan as it is Iran.
Oh, absolutely. And they're not focused on something which is even more important than Taiwan, and that is Scarborough Shoal in the Philippines, in the South China Sea, where China is engaging in extremely belligerent activities. So any of those flashpoints, Taiwan or the Philippines or others, could flare up. And the issue is, how do you deter China? And I think one way you deter China is to get a good result in Iran. If you don't, you embolden China. If China is emboldened, it can do something that was irreversible and catastrophic in East Asia. And that could lead to a whole series of events that could, as I was talking about before, diminish the United States in a way which we would not be able to come back for decades.
Again, in the last 30 seconds, your latest book, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America, obviously would hinge on Taiwan as well, correct?
Correct. And it hinges on a number of other things as well. Now, President Trump is unpredictable. He can deter the Chinese. I hope that he's got the right formula for doing that with regard to Taiwan and the Philippines. And so, you know, this is something which is important for us, because everything is at stake. The Chinese are in our country. They're ready to strike. They're ready to kill a lot of Americans. And we're not preparing ourselves, which is a critical vulnerability.
Thank you, Joe Biden, for our open border. Gordon Chain, thank you as always for your time, sir.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate this, Larry. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Always glad to have you, sir. Gordon G. Chain, again, at Gordon G. Chain on X or Twitter. Coming up, the story behind the story. This month, 1975, a frightening blockbuster summer movie, Jaws.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team. built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And it's bad, bad, Leroy Brown. The baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than a junk.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Music for the opening of Jaws, and of course it was the kind of thing that caught your attention right away and became even stronger as you went through the movie. The music, every time you hear it, do you not flash back? Now, if you have not seen Jaws, here's what I suggest. You see it right before you go on a beach holiday. Yeah. I remember letting my girl see it before we took a first cruise together. My wife was thoroughly upset with me. Now, there are a lot of things behind the movie that was released, Spielberg, of course, directing, that had a lot of changes going on with it during the process. It begins with a young woman on a late-night ocean swim in a New England beach town of Amity Island. And suddenly an unseen force attacks, pulling her underwater. She comes up briefly, skims across the water and just the top of her body, and then disappears. This was shot mostly on location in Martha's Vineyard from May to October 1974. It was the first major motion picture to be shot on the ocean, and they had a lot of production issues going over budget and schedule. A lot of it had to do with the mechanical shark, nicknamed Bruce, which had a troubled production issue. But that music, as composed by John Williams, indicating an impending appearance and scary part, much like Alfred Hitchcock's movie, causing fear to even go into a shower. Jaws was the prototypical summer blockbuster, highest grossing film in history, until the release of Star Wars 2 years later. Jaws, originally in the global breakdown of box office, brought in about, adjusted for inflation, something like $1.5 billion. The budget for the movie was $9 million, so they made money, but it was still over budget for what they wanted to. And it became the first movie to reach more than $100 million in domestic rentals and completely changing how studios marketed and released their biggest franchise movie they were going to release at all. Now, there was, of course, after that, everybody looks for a sequel. And they came out with three different sequels. I happened to meet one of the guys working on the mechanical Jaws and returning from a vacation from the Bahamas. He was on the flight and we started talking and he's telling me about all the difficulties they had. I'll give you more detail on that still a little bit later. Now, when Spielberg was in the process of putting it together, he had a request that you should cast known actors. Peter Benchley, who wrote the book, suggested Robert Redford, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen. But Spielberg didn't want any big stars. He wanted someone somewhat anonymous, believing that it added to the fact that what you were watching could indeed happen to you or me, just like you. And he added his plans, the superstar was going to be the shark. There's a point to be noted here about the shark. While you see the dorsal fin and tail from time to time, beginning around the 62-minute mark is when you actually begin to even see that, you don't really get a full glimpse of the full shark until about an hour and 21 into the film. And I'll bring up that in a moment in more detail. But I want to share with you a CBS interview with Richard Dreyfuss, who was pulled into the film somewhat reluctantly.
It's been a while since Richard Dreyfuss was on Martha's Vineyard.
What are your memories of Jaws? Are they good? Are they strong?
They're great.
But back then, he did everything he could not to be in the movie.
I turned the film down a couple of times because I was thinking that it was going to be a bitch to shoot. And I was not wrong. But it was such an adventure. And if you had to pick one word to describe the shoot, it was waiting.
Now 77, Dreyfuss remembers the standing around, but he also knows Jaws, made here on the island in the summer of 1974, turned him into a Hollywood star.
Is there ever a moment where you think we're making one of the greatest outdoor films of all time?
No.
No. When did you realize it?
First, I had to realize that we were obviously making a turkey, and this thing was going to crash and burn.
The production was a legendary slog. This was the first Hollywood movie to shoot on the unpredictable open seas of the Atlantic. The mechanical shark rarely worked in salt water, and the budget more than doubled. But Steven Spielberg, this 27-year-old director making his first big studio picture, turned misfortune into opportunity. Jaws became one of the most influential American films of the 20th century and ushered in the summer blockbuster.
Now, Richard Dreyfuss did not return for Jaws 2, primarily because the original director, Steven Spielberg, was not involved in Jaws 2. And also, Dreyfuss refused to participate in any sequel that Spielberg wasn't involved in. And in fact, he and Spielberg at that time were working on Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And also, Dreyfuss had no interest in reprising his role because he didn't think he had been paid properly, he and his co-stars, for the massive, unexpected success of the first film. So to explain his absence in the plot, the sequel, includes a line of dialogue mentioning that his character, Matt Hooper, was on an extended scientific expedition aboard a research vessel. But there was one line in Jaws, the original Jaws, that defined the movie. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Shut off that engine.
It's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons of them.
You're going to need a bigger boat, right?
Got to get to work.
How do we handle this?
But that one line, we're going to need a bigger boat. I love using that line on almost any occasion where things are getting out of hand. We're going to need a bigger boat. I tell a lot of my clients, by the way, when they sign on to be a sponsor with Larry Connors USA, you're going to need a bigger boat to carry all the money you're going to be making off of being on Larry Connors USA. And that point, Chief Brody, played by Roy Scheider, is tossing chum into the water. And he looks back and suddenly the shark is suddenly up alongside the boat. And that is 1 hour and 21 minutes into the film, when you actually see the shark in full at that point. Now, again, back to trying to cast the movie and trying to decide who would be in it. That was an issue that Spielberg had to go through and went through and rejected several that some said might have been better. But now that you see a final episode of it, you cannot really say that a decision was ever made that was wrong when it came to producing the movie. Once again, Richard Dreyfuss in a CBS morning interview.
If you remember the beginning of the film, you are terrified before you see the shark.
Before the shark brought terror to the big screen, it arrived at the bookstore. In 1974, Peter Benchley's novel became a bestseller. Spielberg read it and immediately wanted to direct the movie version. Though he was unhappy with early drafts, so he asked a friend, screenwriter Carl Gottlieb, to rip it to shreds.
Steven sent it to me with a note on the cover that said, eviscerate it.
Eviscerate
it. Eviscerate it. And I wrote a lengthy memo.
A lot of details.
Yeah. I say, if we do our jobs right, people will feel about going in the water the way they felt about taking a shower after Psycho.
They did their jobs all right, led by those three guys. Robert Shaw as Quint, the hunter with a shark-infested backstory. Roy Scheider, the police chief afraid of the water.
I'm not going to waste my time arguing with a man who's lining up to be a hot lunch.
And Dreyfuss, who changed his mind about making Jaws after seeing and hating his own performance in the film he'd just made, The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz.
I said, if I'm not working when this film comes out, I'll never work again. And so I went back to Steven and begged him for the part.
And he chose him for that part. The role of Brody was originally offered to Robert Duvall, but he only wanted to portray Quint, but he was considered too young for that. Charlton Heston expressed a desire for the same role. But Spielberg felt that Charlton Heston would bring a screen persona much too grand for being part of a police chief of a modest community. Roy Scheider was interested, only after hearing Spielberg at a party talk about having the shark jump up onto the boat. But Spielberg was reluctant about hiring Scheider, fearing he would portray a tough guy similar to the way he had in French Connection. 9 days before the start of production, Quint Nor Hooper had been cast. The role of Quint had been offered to actors Lee Marvin, Sterling Hayden. Both of them passed on it. Then Robert Shaw was brought up for just finishing the movie The Sting. Shaw was reluctant to take the role. He did not like the book, but he decided to take it because his wife urged him to do so. His performance, based on a fellow cast member who was a local fisherman, a legendary eccentric. In fact, Spielberg described the man he chose as his role model as the purest version of, in my mind, who Quint was. And again, for the role of Hooper, since Dreyfuss had originally said no, they turned to John Voight, Joel Grey, Jeff Bridges. But again, Richard Dreyfuss, who had been part of American Graffiti, came around and begged, give me another chance. I do want to be part of this. Because it had failures with his last movie. I remember distinctly when that movie came out. I was in Houston. And then I came up here just maybe a few weeks afterwards. So I got to see it before my wife came up to join me. So I'd already seen it. It was scary as hell. So I know a particular part that happens in the movie. And I'm sitting beside her when that happens. And I kind of punch her a little bit. And she screams. Everybody in the theater is screaming. Popcorn is flying everywhere. Soda is flying everywhere. But everyone walked out fully entertained and afraid to go into the water. The story behind the story of Jaws. Tomorrow, the story behind the story of a CBS News consultant sent in to talk to me and others. She did not like me. She did not like what I said and how I addressed her. I'll get into that tomorrow. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.